Okay, welcome back, everyone, to our Experience Shabbat Shir. Tonight, we are speaking about Shlissel Challah. Very exciting to be speaking about Shlissel Challah for many reasons, but in particular because I actually gave this class on the last days of Yontif, and I realized 99% of the people that come to this class were not here. So I said, okay, I'll give it again to this group. So thank you all for not being there, and it's good to have you all here tonight. So obviously, why I wanted to speak about Shlissel Challah tonight, for those of you who don't know, is that there's a custom every single year for the Shabbos after Pesach to bake Shlissel Challah. Shlissel Challah literally means key challah, right? Shlissel comes from the Schlüssel, German for key. And so there's a custom to bake key challah. What does that mean to make key challah? So I believe there are three basic customs that this has developed into. One is making challah in the shape of a key. One is baking a challah with a key in it. And I hear there's like two different customs in that. Some people bake it directly. It touches the challah. Okay, that if you want the extra rust in your challah, that's very nice. Some people bake it with some foil wrapped around the key, and some people bake it with parchment paper around the key. I guess you have to ask a baker. Maybe Sari can tell us. I don't know if it makes a difference exactly which material you use, but whatever it is, some people bake the key inside the challah. And then the third custom that I've seen is that some people bake a challah with, they'll make a shape of a key on top with sesame seeds or something like that. So those are the three basic ways that people make Shlissel Challah. And the obvious question is what in the world is this all about? Most of us did not grow up, young and old, most of us did not grow up with the custom. Some of us did grow up with the custom. So where does this come from? And in particular, these days, it's like all over the place. You think that if you're like only the really frum Jews, they'll be the ones baking Shlissel Challah. So what is this custom? Where does it come from? Do we have to do it? Are we allowed to do it? Let's try to answer all these questions. So when I gave this class over Yontif, my good friend Mark Bronstein, he suggested that perhaps all of this comes from a Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah has a concept that Ba'arba Prakim Ha'olam Nidon, that there are four times throughout the year that mankind is judged on different things, right? We all know that in Rosh Hashanah we're judged, we all pass before Hashem like sheep, that we all know very well. But on Pesach, we're also judged for something. What are we judged for on Pesach? But Pesach ala tzvua. On Pesach, the holiday that we just had, we're judged on grain. And therefore, since we're judged on the amount of grain that we're going to have for the year, how fitting is it that we'll have a special custom related to this, related to grain, following Shabbos? So we just finished eating matzah. We're all excited for our first Shabbos with challah after Pesach. And what do you know? We bake our fancy Shlissel Challahs to represent to Hashem that He should bless us with a year filled with grain and all of the like. Where does this actually come from, though? Where does the specific minhag of Shlissel Challah come from? Where is the earliest source? So the earliest source that most people point to can be found in the Sefer Ohev Yisrael, written by the Abderav. The Abderav was Rav Avraham Yoshua Heschel, from Poland, from the late 1700s, early 1800s. He's the first person to mention it. It's mentioned later on in the 1800s as well in the Tami HaMinhagim. And he writes as follows. He says, why do we have this custom to make Shlissel Challah? He quotes a pasuk from Shir HaShirim that we also just read just a few days ago in the fifth chapter, in the second pasuk. The pasuk says, Ani yeshana v'libi er kol, that I was asleep, but my heart was like awakened or was awake. Dodi do fake, my beloved knocks, right? The famous drasha from Rabbi Soloveitchik called Dodi do fake, right? So my beloved is knocking, and pischi li achusi rayasi, and the pasuk then continues to say, let me in or open up for me, my darling, Yonasi, my faultless dove, etc. The pasuk goes on, but the key words that the poskim point to, or that the rabbanim point to, is that the notion of pischi li achusi. We say to Hashem, and there's this relationship between us and God, that we say, open up the doors. So evidently, this alludes to the fact that the doors are open around this time of year, specifically around the time of Pesach, and as we'll see, according to many, not just around the time of Pesach, but all the way up until Pesach Sheni, right, which is exactly 1 month after Erev Pesach. So if Erev Pesach is the 14th of Nisan, so all the way up until the 14th of Iyar, we have this entire time where it's Pischili, where the doors are open for us to daven, for us to get close to Hashem. And so the Tamei Amin Hagim brings this pasuk and he quotes the Medrash in Shir Hashirim Rabbah and explains that there is such a custom to make Shlissel Challah that just like we know that the doors are open for us for Tefillah, so what better way to daven to Hashem than by using Lechem? Why Lechem in particular? So listen to the language of the Tamei Amin Hagim. V'yadua Mamar Chazal Shehashem Yisbaruch Mavakish Mea Knesset Yisrael Pischili Kichudo Shal Machat. So we know that Hashem asks us, He begs of us, please daven B'nai Yisrael. V'ani etach lechem kepischo shel ulam. If you daven to me, then I'll open up all the doors, I'll make all these things possible for you. V'yadua d'haknesis Yisrael kulam krua v'gam nikra b'bechinas lechem. That evidently we are associated, the Jewish people are associated with bread, with the concept of bread. V'hine yadua d'bepesach hayu kol ha'sha'arim umochen ilayim pesuchim. All of the openings, all of the doors are open for us. Achar kach nin alu, and then afterwards they're closed, and therefore we have this custom to put a key in the challah to mention that, to note the fact that we're trying to reopen, unlock that door again, and we're trying to sort of storm the walls, storm the doors of heaven, to dive into Hashem. That's what this is all about. Shlissel challah is a way for us to enhance our tefillah and show that Hashem, we want to dive into you, we want your doors of heaven to be open to our prayers. Now, let's try to understand a little bit more where this comes from and really, really what this is all about. So in the Sefer Nite Gavriel, by Rav Gavriel Tziner, he talks about this extensively. He offers an additional perspective. He says, not only is it just about directly davening to Hashem, but perhaps there's actually a deeper meaning behind Shlissel Challah. Listen to his language. He says, Be'ofen Acher, he explains that this idea of davening to Hashem is connected to Shlissel Challah, but from a different perspective, he says, Muva B'Sfarim, that the different holy books talk about, Shemir Ramzim Bazel Le'etzer Hara Lasur Me'it, that when we're baking Shlissel Challah, we're saying to Hashem, or we're saying to the Yetzer Hara, we want to get the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, out of our hearts, out of our souls. V'hu ki ha-hevdel bein chametz lematzah hu nekuda. How in the world does Shlissel Challah represent the fact that we want to get the Yetzer Hara out of our souls? Very simple, because this is the main difference between chametz and matzah. We just finished a holiday in which chametz was prohibited and matzah was the only thing that was permitted. Hi ha-nekuda ha-chasira behei shel matzah le'umas haches shel chametz. Right, the famous thing that every kid learns in kindergarten, that chametz and matzah are very similar. They share two out of the three same letters, except for the fact that matzah has a hey and chametz has a chet, right? And the only difference between the two words, if you rearrange the letters, is just that little connection point between the where you have the hay that's like shaped like this, and you have a thing over here. So there's just that little connector for those of us who know what the shape of a chet looks like. And so therefore, they're very, very similar. Ulam b'nei Yisrael. One second. So he says as follows. So pinazu behei mechuvenes neged haPesach shabo miskarvim Yisrael laavim shabashamayim. So the corner of this hay, he says, is like specifically what is in front of this opening that allows the Jewish people to get closer to heaven. V'lachin avodas bnei Yisrael lahafoch hasachamitz lematza. Our goal is after Pesach, or I guess you could say we accomplish this on Pesach, but now post Pesach, our goal is to turn the chametz into the matzah. Now matzah is no longer our only food source. We can eat chametz, but now even the chametz we have to turn into matzah. Ulam b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim meirov shiflosam lo hayu mesugalim lasos zel levadam. The Jewish people, when they came out of Egypt, they weren't able to do such a thing. They could only eat matzah. V'lachin Pesach lehem Hashem levado as a Pesach. They said, Hashem, open up the door for us. Bebechinas Isra Usa Dileila. Very haya Azza Kadosh Baruch Hu bebechinas Habo letaher. V'tzrichin imkein Yisrael leyos ha-messayan biyado. Asher ha-Pesach yishar pesuach achar ha-Pesach. In other words, what he's basically saying is, to briefly summarize, is that after Pesach, there is this time period of saying that Hashem opened up the doors for us to get closer to Him, to remove the Yetzer Hara, to remove all the evil inclinations from us, to be totally purified purified and pure of all the negativity within us. And this is a special time. It's a mesugal. It's an auspicious time for us to be able to connect to Hashem in this way. So we bake the challah that's representative of all of this, turning the chametz into matzah, making the chametz, which represents the yetzer hara, which represents negativity and the evil inclination. We make that holy by putting the key in, which is supposed to show that we're making a connection to Hashem, who opens the doors for us. The Nitei Gavriel also quotes in the name of the Yismach Yisrael. This is fascinating. I was not aware of this before I saw it inside of the Nitei Gavriel, that there are those that have a custom not to make Shlissel Challah, but they don't do nothing, they do other things. Some people evidently have a custom to make round challahs, and they put a little bit of like an egg, the egg yolk, the white part of the egg. They put that in the middle of it, like they make like a bagel almost. Think like a, you know what I'm talking about. Like a, what's the cake called with the hole in the middle? What's it called? Someone scream at it. Someone unmute, Sari, unmute yourself for a second. What's it called?
Bun cake.
Ah, there you go. Good, a bun cake. Right, so basically the challah is supposed to look like that. I'll mute you again, thank you though. So the challah looks like that, and you put a little egg in the middle. Some people have a custom to make a challah like that for the Shabbos, and it's because there's an idea that this is called a Shabbos Gala Matzos, or a Geula Matzos, that this somehow represents the redemption. How, why, I'm not so sure, but that's what some people do. But let's go back now to Shlissel Challah. So we said Shlissel Challah represents two different things. This key that we bake into the challah, or the challah that we bake into the shape of a key, somehow represents for us that we are getting closer to Hashem, that Hashem should open up the gates of tefillah, or Hashem should open up the capacity and the ability of each and every one of us to remove the yetzer hara from our lives and from our hearts and from our souls. How in the world does putting the key on the challah, I understand the link on some level, but how in the world does this actually accomplish this? And is this really a permissible thing to do in Judaism? Right, in Judaism we are not very superstitious people. We are not people who do things for no reason. Every mitzvah has a rhyme or reason, and even those which don't have a rhyme or reason, we believe that there is some holy understanding behind it, right? For example, think of like kashrus. Why do we keep kosher? So there are some very nice reasons that, you know, eating food, eating certain types of, having a certain diet is supposed to connect us to Hashem, maybe in certain ways. But at the end of the day, we don't know why Hashem told us to be kosher, but we do it because Hashem told us to. Hashem did not tell us to put keys in our challahs. So how can we just make this up a few hundred years ago to put a key in a challah and say that this is something that we do? What's the reason? What's the purpose? There has to be some understanding and perspective of what it's all about. And if not, then it sounds like a little bit paganistic. So is that the case? Is it paganistic, or is it something that an Orthodox Jew should be doing? So there's several back and forth articles that if you just Google Shlissel Challah, you'll find this online, between two individuals, by Rabbi Shlomo Alfasa and Rabbi Yair Hoffman. Shlomo Alfasa is a name that most of us probably are not familiar with, but he has several websites in which he writes different articles. I believe he founded Mesorah.org, which is just a website, interesting stuff on there. And then there's Rabbi Yair Hoffman, who writes for the Five Towns Jewish Times, and let's leave the politics of the paper out of it for a second, and just he happens to write very interesting articles every now and again. He writes about Shlissel Challah. So they have this. They go head to head. Rabbi Alfasa says that Shlissel Challah is avodah zarah. You can't do Shlissel Challah. Anyone who does it is an idol worshiper, and we'll explain why in a second. And Rabbi Hoffman says, no, it's not so bad. It's okay to do it. Let's not, you know, be too concerned about it. So let's see what they have to say. I'll read you a couple of excerpts from their writings. So Rabbi Alfasa, his big thing is that Shlissel Challah, when you think about it, just remove all of the nice connections that I just shared with you. Just think about it objectively. A key in challah, like, what is that? It sounds like we did not come up with that, and likely, if you dig enough, probably connected to some other religions doing some other foolish things. I don't mean to offend the other religions, but that's what it seems like. And he says as follows, that there are many non-Jewish origins to it. Listen to his language. He says, the baking of a key inside a bread is a non-Jewish custom, which has its foundation in Christian and possibly even earlier pagan culture. At least one old Irish source tells us how at times when a town was under attack, the men said, let our women folk be instructed in the art of baking cakes containing keys. Keys were traditionally manufactured in the form of a cross, the traditional symbol of Christianity, a physical item all Christian commoners would possess in their home. Right? You may not have a nice cross, but you have a key, and the key has the cross on it. On Easter, the Christian holiday, which celebrates the idea of Jesus rising from, this is the best part, rising from the dead, they would bake the symbol of Jesus, the key shaped like a cross, into or onto a rising loaf. Jesus comes up and the key comes up. It's unbelievable. This was not only a religious gesture, but the bread was a special holiday treat. Sometimes these breads were wholly formed in the shape of a cross, right? Maybe in the shape of a key. Other times the shape of a cross was made out of dough and applied on top. In the context of historically baking a key into bread, the key itself intrinsically was a symbol of Christianity, and by extension symbolized Jesus rising in the dough. So according to Rabbi Alfas over here, anyone who makes shlisel challah is essentially saying Jesus is rising in my oven. So if you want to do that, that's okay. But otherwise, if you don't feel like associating with him, you should not be doing that. That's his perspective. To do a total 180 on that, let's take a look at what Rabbi Hoffman has to say in his article. So he, again, writes very extensively, but he just says as follows. He says, listen, Rabbi Alfasa, you're a very nice historian. You pulled up some very nice facts, but let's really get to the truth. Is that really, did he really describe what they used to do historically well? He says as follows. The fact is, however, this source does not mention a key in a loaf at all. It mentions a cake with a cross on top of it. How was the shape of the cross made? Either with a bone of a pig or with a cross-shaped key. There is no parallel to the shlisel challah here whatsoever. In other words, he says, Rabbi Hoffman says to Rabbi Alfasa, you're reading way too much into it. When they had keys that they used to bake into their challah, they weren't baking the key into the challah, they were baking a cross into the challah. It happened to be that the key looks like a cross. The whole notion of putting a key into a challah, we created that. Totally not related to the cross thing, but that's because of our own customs. It's a minhag avaseinu biyadeinu. And the notion that they used to do anything similar to us. Okay, listen, naturally there are things that seem to develop similarly. Maybe they even got it, he doesn't say this, but maybe even they got it from us. We've been doing this for so many years, and they're the ones who distorted it a little bit and changed it. So he's not convinced by this historical disproof of shlisel challah, and therefore he seems to say that, you know, maybe you don't have to do it, but those who want to do it don't feel bad. You don't feel like you're becoming Jesus lovers. So therefore he's not so bothered by it. So where does all of this leave us? So really, ultimately, we have to come down to one question. Let's say we assume that you can have a historical proof, or at least enough of an explanation to say that it's okay to do this, right? In other words, if we can definitively link this custom back to something that the pagans used to do, or that the Christians, early Christians used to do, then it's just totally prohibited. It's without question. However, since it seems to be the case that it's not an unequivocal truth, we do not have the ability to totally write off the custom because of the fact that for no other reason, as Rabbi Hoffman explains, that so many great Hasidic Rebbeim had this custom. If the Satmar Rav and the Belzer Rav and the Klausenberger Rebbe, all these people used to do this custom, what, they're all pagans? They all want Jesus to rise? It's ridiculous. So if such holy individuals are doing this, true, maybe in the less Hasidic circles they weren't doing this, but if in these very holy circles and these great Rebbeim we're doing this, how can you really believe that there was a problem with it? And therefore, removing this historical connection, let's get to the root of the issue, potential issue, with shlisel challah, and that is, what is the actual action of putting the key in the challah meant to accomplish? If a person believes that there are mystical powers in a key that you put in the challah, you turn on the oven, and bada bing, bada boom, it's like Mary Poppins, and it makes some very fancy miracles, and now all of a sudden Hashem will open the gates of heaven, and you'll have parnasa, and you'll have all these very great rewards, then, okay, that could be an issue. However, if you believe that the key is not representative of any actual activity happening in the world, but rather it's meant to sort of target your mind and guide you to be thinking in a certain way and put yourself in a certain mindset, then it's much less problematic. So what happens to be now, with all these different signs and symbols that seem to indicate that it's a little bit off the beaten path, if you will. So let's take a more parv example that less people are bothered by, but in theory could be equally as probably problematic, and that is Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. Most people say, Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, it's a mitzvah, though, right? So the Torah commands us to throw the bread in the water. Please don't, by the way, throw the bread in the water on Rosh Hashanah. It's an unknown fact that it's a prohibition to feed animals on Yom Tov that do not belong to you, so don't throw the bread. That's certainly, it's a good way to gain sins if you throw the bread in the water. But what about just the concept of going there and reading the Siddur and saying Tashlich? Is that something that we should do? So there are some poskim who say it's a totally forbidden thing to do. I believe the Gra was famous for not being a fan of Tashlich because it's like Darchei Amori. It's like a paganistic ritual, so we don't like doing it. So what about other paganistic esque type rituals? For example, like Shlissel Challah, which at best it seems comparable to some pagan rituals. So would that be allowed? So it's a machlokus between the Rambam and the Rashba, essentially. The Rambam, if anyone who knows anything about the Rambam, is totally against it. Anything that even smells of pagan or lunacy, has no real backing, that he's totally against these things. And the Rashba is a little bit more into it. Or not into it, but he's not as against it, I would say. He tries to be Dalmakav Schuss as best as he could. Ultimately, from the perspective that many of the poskim have taken throughout Jewish history, and that is, if the Jewish people are doing something, there must be a rhyme or a reason to it. Whoa, we can't find it, or anything that we find doesn't look that great or that strong. It must be out there somewhere. Some great rabbi must have come up with it, and therefore we have to be okay with it. With all of that said, let's quickly summarize and then get to the final answer, and that is, should we be making Shlissel Challah this Shabbos? So we saw so far that Shlissel Challah could be representative of the fact that Hashem opens up the gates of Tefillah, opens up the gates of Parnassa, that Hashem may remove the Yetzer Hara, and all of this is sort of indicated in the fact that we make the key shape of Challah, or we put the key in the Challah, etc. And then we basically saw that there were some who were vehemently against it, and some who were less vehemently against it, and maybe even a little pro it. And then we had the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba about whether or not all these things are okay in general. But again, there's plenty of these things that we do allow ourselves to do, like Tashlich being the highest on the list of the examples. And so therefore, if you want to do this, it would seem like there is what to say, that you could rely on the opinion that says that all these paganistic-esque type of rituals might be allowed. So at the end of the day, should we be doing Shlissel Challah? Should we not be doing Shlissel Challah? So Rav Aviner, for those of you who are familiar with Shlomo Aviner in Eretz Yisrael, he has something called the Shoot SMS, in which people text in Shilohs to him, and he answers them. And here's a question that was texted in to him. He says, is there an authentic source for making Challah with a key in it, or in the shape of a key, on the Shabbat after Pesach as a skula for Parnassa, or is it just a superstition? He wrote back, it's not forbidden, but there is no meaning in doing so. Which, by the way, is a very important thing for him to have said. He's saying it's not usur. Don't worry, you're not violating a prohibition of Avodah Zarah, you're not a pagan, you don't think Jesus is rising in the oven, you're okay, but nonetheless, it's like a worthless thing to do. So again, you're welcome to do whatever you want. It's a free country, but there's no meaning in it whatsoever. What, therefore, should our perspective be? Is this something that we should be running to do? Is this something that we should not be running to do? Well, I take the following perspective, and I don't know why this is not said more frequently, and that is that if you are keeping the entire Torah, you keep every mitzvah to the best of your ability. You know, no one's perfect, but you do the best you can to keep all the mitzvahs, anything that you're aware of. You try to learn more. You try to frequent, classes and to get a better understanding of all of Judaism. And so then you see, there's a nice extra thing that the Hasidish Sfarim bring down to do the key with the challah, and it has a nice meaning to it. So then, there's plenty of poskim that seem to say it's okay, and certainly a lot of great rabbanim that have done it throughout the years, and therefore I have no issue with it. However, if someone is an individual who is not doing all the mitzvot of the Torah, whether knowingly or unknowingly, or my favorite, let's say you're just a spiritually minded individual, you don't keep any of the halachos of Shabbos, you violate the melachos d'oraisa of Shabbos, the Torah forbidden melachos, but you find meaning in Shlissel Challah, so that's probably a distortion of values and ideals. You should make sure you're keeping all the halachos and following all the mitzvot, and then use Shlissel Challah as the cherry on top, but it's certainly not the cake, right? The cake is the Torah and mitzvot that we have passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu through in the Torah and through the Gemara, etc. But Shlissel Challah is a cherry, it's just not the cake. So if you're doing the cake, you could have the cherry, but if you don't have the cake, you can't have the cherry. And therefore, ultimately, I think that it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to really understand and realize and internalize what this custom is all about, and therefore, whether or not we do Shlissel Challah, we bake it or not, which again, whichever category you want to fall into, enjoy, have fun making it, Let's realize that, nonetheless, most people say that Shlussel Challah should be made because this is an auspicious time. Because the time between Pesach Rishon, that's the 14th of Nisan, and Pesach Sheni, the 14th of Iyar, is a time in which the gates of prayer are left open and we can dive into Hashem for Parnassah or for any of our needs. So therefore, as we go into this Shabbos, the Shabbos that according to many traditions, or according to some traditions, is customarily the Shabbos in which we bake the Shlussel Challah to open up, to storm the doors of Tefillah, even if we don't bake the Challah, let's still storm the doors with our tefillah. Let's still find the Shabbos as an opportunity to connect to Hashem on a deeper and a higher and a holier level. We just came off such a very special holiday of Pesach, especially in the world that we're living in now. This was the first holiday in which we felt a real sense of reawakening, of reopening, and God willing, that will continue in this post-pandemic world that will continue to reopen. Let's use this as an opportunity to continue to strengthen our relationship with Hashem, with those around us, our family and our friends, and to dive into Hashem and find meaning in that and strengthen our tefillos, because that's ultimately the root of all of this. So again, if you want to bake the challah, enjoy. You don't want to do it, don't do it. But still dive into Hashem. He uses it as the auspicious opportunity that it is to connect with the Almighty and those around us. Wish everyone a beautiful night and a Shabbat Shalom.